I think we're missing Craig Dinez.
Yeah.
We'll be here, but of course, Dan Adams and John Juan led our group down there with the Covenant Church, and we've got Tanner, Bianca, and Jennifer here, and of course, we're just thrilled they're back safely. And the verse that I'm going to read at the beginning here is the text that they have for the entire week, and then we'll kind of flesh out this as they begin to talk about their experience. But their whole trip and the messages down there were from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And God made him, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'm going to just ask some various logistical questions, and then I know some of you have written some stuff out, but just an opportunity to all of you tell us what you've what the trip meant to you, what you learned from it. First of all, who? How many did you guys go with? Let's all just kind of stand a little closer to that mic and just kind of stand around and talk. So how many went on the trip?
40 at the most, I think.
I think there's 33
altogether.
All together and a few vans. That's great. And was it a long drive?
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiring?
How long back?
What's that?
How long back was it?
18 hours.
18 hours? Wow. Long, long trip. And when you got to when you got there, describe the place where you stayed and you kind of set up camp.
The first night we actually stayed at the Palaco Church. There's three churches, so we were welcome there, and they had food and music, and they were really excited to see us. And we ended up staying the night inside the
church.
At a church,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then you moved from there to
the
camp.
To the camp. It's called Cuernavaca.
Cuernavaca camp.
Yeah, and it's just like all dirt and, yeah.
All dirt.
All dirt.
Yeah.
All dirt. Did you sleep
dirt
on dirt? And
no, we had tents.
You had tents, and it's kind of, is it outside the town and
kind of,
so to speak?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like you're leaving town almost, and then the last turn is kind of into the area where we all like.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what did each of you do during the week? Like what, describe the service that you did, and describe what kind of planned events for you, like I know some worship services, those kinds of things. Each one of you could speak to that.
Me and Tanner were at Palaco, which was the first church that we went to, and every day during the week we did VBS, and we were telling them the story of Joseph.
Vacation Bible School and the story of Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I'll tell you a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like a rundown. Basically, every day we would wake up 6:30, eat breakfast at 7, and then we'd have chapel. We'd worship, and we just had an amazing speaker all week. He would speak in the morning and then give a sermon and then kind of tie it in at night. And so after chapel, everybody would kind of disperse. There was three different churches that we worked at. Two were Vacation Bible School, and then one was a construction team. So everybody would just kind of scatter. We had, six different vehicles, so everybody would go do their own thing, and then we would come back for dinner, and then we'd have chapel again in service, and then in the evenings we'd always have what was called an afterglow, where everybody would circle up and just reflect on the day, and it was just amazing because everybody was, just poured out their hearts, and, everybody was open, and everybody was just, there for Christ, and it was just totally evident. So it was an amazing trip for sure.
Wow. Bianca, what'd you do every
what?
Did you have a different assignment?
Oh, well, me, John, sometimes John was at, we were at the Second Church Puebla, and that's what me and Dan, and sometimes John, that was the church we were at, and we did vacation Bible study, and there was, we were at the church where there was like 30 kids, they were just running around everywhere, so they were, that's where we got really attached. And
yeah, what?
To really, the, really attached to the kids.
Yeah,
oh,
the guy said
great.
Tons of kids.
There's a lot. Was there a lot of people there at the camp that
yeah.
you stayed at?
Yeah.
Like how many?
I'd say 1,300 about.
Yeah.
1,300?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a tent city for
a lot of tents.
Yeah.
Just a little patrol in a company.
Did you all have the same worship service then, essentially?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was powerful.
And they were doing probably other things as well, right? Other kinds of projects going on.
I mean, there's a million people in the city, so each church had their own churches they were working with, or orphanages, or construction. We did community service one day. So everybody would just kind of, after service, you know, just kind of scatter out and do whatever they were doing for the day. So
wow.
Bless the city.
Tell them about that construction site those guys did, a little bit.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, just to give you kind of a, just wrap your mind around it a little bit. What we accomplished in 1 week probably set him and his family like 15, maybe 20 years ahead of, you know.
Building the house or something?
Basically, there's the sanctuary, which has the gabled roof on it. And then behind the church was their house. And basically had, I mean, I guess if you've never been to Mexico, it's kind of hard to know how these people live. I mean, you know, upper middle class. You know, have cement floors. Most people have dirt floors, you know, and they just build rooms at a time, you know, whenever they can get any kind of material or anything together. So the house the family was living at, I mean, you could stand on the roof and look down into any room that you wanted to in the house. And so basically we put a brand new roof on the rest of their house. And then to the side of that was a basically
garage.
A carport.
Yeah,
a carport type
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
And we finished the roof so fast and got it done. Basically built a second story, which was his dream to have like basically a couple different Sunday school classes up there. And
what was the reaction of this 27-year-old pastor?
Oh, he couldn't even, yeah. He didn't have words for it.
Oh.
His
pastor just really grateful for the project.
The family was just,
wow.
It was amazing.
Quite an operation then,
yeah,
through
awesome.
A lot of groups going out. Well, I got the phone call on Sunday afternoon saying, we want you to be aware, Pastor Troy, that a very large earthquake had hit and really close to where you were, but everybody's okay. What was it like?
Crazy. Tell
them
what it means.
Okay, well, it was a shower day, so everyone was taking showers, and Angela Franklin from the Covenant Church, she was in the shower when it happened, and then everyone was just freaking out. And,
crying.
Yeah, crying and scared. And then everyone was worried about the construction team because we couldn't get a hold of them, and they were supposed to be on the roof.
Yeah.
And so we all got together in a circle, and Jill Gardner from the Covenant Church, she just started singing God of Wonders, and then we all just started singing, and it felt good. It felt great.
They knew where to go, huh?
Yeah.
Priorities are right.
Wow.
Great. These are your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, we were worried, obviously. But it had to be a pretty powerful experience.
Yeah.
And after that, it sounded like people were really drawn together in the midst of that.
It was amazing because when the construction team came back, they were just saying the city is like, you know, it's everything. There's roofs that had caved in, walls that had fallen down, and each site that, you know, all three churches that we were at, only one thing fell down. But the, you know, we went later on that day. We went and we took a drive around the city, and everything, broken glass and, you know, walls that had fallen down. It was just amazing that we were all okay. And everyone at the campsite reported that they, you know, everyone was okay.
everyone in the whole complex.
The camp, yeah.
No injuries, wow. Real answer to prayer in that. Well, I'd like for each of you to really describe what this trip has meant to you. I know Jen has written something out. She can start. So just take turns going to the pulpit and telling us what this meant to you, what it meant for your faith, and what it is that you'd like us to know about what you did. So all of you just one at a time. Go right ahead.
No.
Jen, I'm...
Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you about my personal experience in Mexico. Honestly, I struggled in the beginning of the week. I had a hard time because I felt like there was no reason for me to be there. I had no idea why God had pushed me to go on this trip. And then the earthquake happened. I had never been through an earthquake before, and I didn't know what to think. Everyone was crying and scared, and we all got together in a circle and started to sing God of Wonders. We all began to sing and praise God, and it was such a wonderful feeling. It felt like nothing was wrong because we were with God and talking to Him. The next day, I had time to think about that experience, and I realized that God was trying to wake me up. I realized how much I was trying to control my life instead of letting God guide me. That earthquake showed me how little control we actually have, and that we have to put our trust and faith in God to protect us and lead us. I wasn't letting Him do that. So it was like I started over, and I just let Him work through me, and my attitude completely changed. I was able to meet all of these precious little kids, and I got to show them the love that God poured into me, and it felt so great. They made me feel like I was a part of their church family, and that really made me happy and blessed. I began to make relationships with the kids at Polaco, which is the church that I worked at, and I am happy to say that they once again made me feel God's love through every action that they did. I miss them so much, and I wish that we never left, but I know that I'm willing. I'm willing to go back if that is God's will. My attitude has definitely changed. I was listening to a song this morning and it really summed up my feelings. It said, I want to see more Him, which is God, because I'm sick of more me. That is how I feel right now. I am willing to let God control my life.
Let's give her a Barnabas hug. Yeah.
For those of you guys that have been on a mission, there's not really, I think you'll agree with me when I say there's not really a way to describe like how you feel down there. It's kind of weird because going down there, I didn't really know where I was going, you know. I got invited by Grandpa Dan and I didn't feel like I had a purpose going down there. I did at one point, somewhere between getting invited and actually going there, I felt like, okay, you know, God's telling me to do this. Then I kind of lost that fire, if you can call it that, you know. I lost that fire, and then and obviously He wasn't doing anything to stop me from going, so I figured, you know, well, He wants me to go. So the whole way down there, you know, I'm still like, you know, God, why am I going? I still didn't know, and they asked me to go as a worship leader, one of the worship leaders. There's about four of us. And I still had no idea why or how He was going to use me down there. And then, Jim was talking about, we did VBS, and that's where we sang the songs, and all the songs were in Spanish. And I was figuring, out, okay, well, I don't really know the words, so you know, how am I going to, you know, praise God through that? And I ended up, as soon as we started singing, I felt like my purpose, like the kids had so much joy, like even just. They, you know, they were all over the place. They were singing different songs at the same time as I was playing one song. But, you know, you could just hear the joy in their voices, and you could see it in their face. Like, they were just so happy. And so I really felt like that was my purpose, is just to you know, God wanted me there to spread the love of God and fill their hearts with joy, because you could see it in their eyes when you got out of the van. It was just like, it was just like a love fest. They just like wanted to hug you, and just, it was awesome. And then when you played music for them, they just went crazy. And so God talked to my heart a lot. He touched my heart, and for me, the trip kind of opened my eyes to the fact that I would not only would like to do worship ministry locally, but internationally as well. I would love to do that. And so I feel like God really did talk to me, and this experience was definitely amazing. And I am just so happy that I was able to go. So, thank you.
Let's give him a wonderful. I'll take one of those too.
Well, Jen and Tanner, they really did say it all. Just the relationship with the kids was really eye-opening. You know, they don't get a lot of love down there, and they just showed us how much they can love, and that was really amazing. I actually have a verse, and Jen and I, we found this a long time ago, about last year, and we were in youth group, and I didn't have a favorite verse, so we just kind of randomly opened my book. And I found this verse, and I was like, oh, I really like it. And a couple days ago, when we were still at in Mexicali, I opened my book, and I remembered this verse. And I think it really applies to just all of us in our homecoming, and how we can see the world now. So it's Philippians 4:12-13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength.
Good morning. Definitely, I just want to, first of all, just thank the church for hosting the golf tournament and just raising the funds, you know. Definitely probably speak for all of us to, you know, help us, you know, provide the rest of the money for us to go. And that was a big time blessing. Shoot, I don't even know where to start to tell you about this trip. Wow, Jen kind of summed it up, and Tanner did too. Power of God was moving like crazy. I mean, to be in Mexico all week, I mean, there's no hiding if you're not for God, you know. The group that we took down there was just, man, so encouraging. And I don't know, everybody just came together. It was like something I had never seen before. And I was just so blessed to be there. There was, man, so many Holy Spirit movings, man. God was just rocking people. And kind of fumbled for words to, you know, to describe that. But one experience, we had been driving for 15-16 hours all day, and we had stopped at the Nestle factory, and somebody had a connection there, and so we picked up a pallet of baby food and a pallet of candy and different things. And we got to the border, we found out when we got there that you needed special paperwork to get this food in. Some of the vans get through, you kind of get a red light, green light, and some cars go through. Anyways, a couple of the truck and trailers got stopped, and one including this, these two pallets of amazing blessings that we were gonna give to people down there. And basically, the Border Patrol wasn't going to allow any of it to go through. They were just going to pull it. You know, they weren't budging at all. And so one of the van that me and Tanner were in, had already crossed, and we had walkie-talkies, and they were just saying, you know, you guys got to wait up for us because we're going to have to unload all this. And, man, it was just, I could sit up here and cry for you, man. But we just started praying, and for some reason, I mean, totally God, he just changed the, you know, changed the hearts and minds of, you know, these people. And man, it was awesome. It was awesome. What else can I tell you? For my faith, man, just been totally amazing. I can't even think right now to describe, you know, what we felt and just the experiences that we had. If any of you guys get a chance to go down and serve and do this, it's definitely an experience that you'll never forget. That's for sure. Yeah, I don't know. It was just amazing. God moves and he's just so powerful. And just the speakers and the worship and, man, just the prayer and so many other things were just amazing. God just moved on us so much, and these guys were just awesome. So God bless. Thank you for allowing me to go and represent. So thank you.
You know, this is your labor of love right here. Your labor of love. And I want to thank Troy for your labor of love, Pastor. A lot of it's labor. You know, labor comes before love, that word, interesting. Labor of love, Mike. And you know, I just want to thank you. I had to write this down because I was broken up so much down there. I was just, I couldn't believe, you know, how God is moving by his spirit through his love, you know, in all these kids, you know. This is, right here, this is the gospel. God, the gospel got written on the hearts. The grace of God, the love of God, on those hearts. That's what you're investing in. Oh, Lord. You guys made this possible. These are your kids. And this is your fruit. And I had one, the Lord kind of gave me a little illustration. You know, I was praying a lot when I was down there. I'd wake up a little early and I'd pray, and the Lord would show me some stuff, you know, that I needed to change in my life. And he showed me kind of this illustration, and it was simply this, and then I'll explain it. You know, you guys really look different now. Amen. But I'll take them off. Yeah. Some think it's for the worse, but anyway. Here's the point. You know, and I said, God, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? And you know, God commanded his love toward us, and that we were yet sinners, Christ. He didn't wait for us to become righteous, but sinners. He looked at right into us. And he looked beyond that and saw our needs. And then his love covers. I mean, it just covers a multitude of sin. And so that's what the Lord is showing me, you know, that like we've been, it's the same message. It's never changed. It's Christ's life in us. It gives us a totally different look on life. It's a beautiful thing. Yes. This is fruit in your part of their growth. We should applaud them. Let's applaud them. We want to applaud you.
Well said. Let's stand together and let's have a word of prayer together, okay? Lord, we thank you for your hand of protection upon our group and the larger group, and wow, those 1,300 other youth and adults there serving in Mexicali. thank you for each person here who's spoken this morning, and for Craig as well. We know what an impact it's had on them just by the way in which they talk this morning. I'm humbled by it. Very thankful for what you've done. And we are, as a church as well, just proud of them and proud of our youth group, and want to continue to invest in changing lives. Lord, from that text from 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Just to say that you make something new. You begin to bring alive in a person a faith that turns away from an old life and embraces the calling that Christ gives them to serve others, to love one another, and to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Continue to bless them, guide them, and lead them. And we look forward to hearing more about it and seeing pictures and continuing to rejoice in what they've experienced. Pray this all in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thanks, everybody. And let's sing our closing hymn. Good job, guys. It's pretty well.